So we're not quite following the order of service this morning. We'll be starting with a reflection and then going to the readings and reflections listed there. Like most people, I have some duality about myself, some good parts and some bad. While I hesitate to rigidly divide myself, there are some clear dichotomies. For example, I like to pair carrots with hummus, and I also like to pair hot dogs with bacon. One of those choices bodes ill for my cholesterol. When I was approached to do a reflection for this service, one of my own dualities immediately jumped to mind, my fantastically enormous ego. Now, Sam, you might say, that's not really a true dark side. Well, it is and it isn't. Let me give you some scale so you can appreciate why I think it might be a problem. Imagine someone you know and respect, someone you admire, someone you think is really, really cool. Take that feeling of admiration and respect and multiply it. Multiply it again. Now you're at about the right order of magnitude, maybe a little on the low side. That's how awesome I think I am. Admittedly, among Mr. Hyde problems I could have, that's a fairly good one. I'm in a really good place if one of the biggest personal problems I have to talk about is how awesome I think I am. My ego does leave me confident, very confident, sure in my abilities to handle any and every situation and chomping at the bit for more. It keeps my chin in and my chest out, my back straight and smile ready. I rarely freak out because I know I'm just too awesome for any particular situation to get the better of me. In that sense, my solar system of an ego is great. On the other hand, my abilities do have very real limits. I can only stay up late so many nights in a row. It's only sometimes safe for me to drive home. I often misjudge people and am slow to correct those judgments. My ego blinds me to all of that and more. Those examples are really just scratching the surface. My ego is the enabler, the little evil that distracts the gate guards long enough for the real problems to slip out. I'd list some of the real problems, but my ego's distracted me from them. So the egotistical solar system I've built around myself functions as a shield from true self-awareness, protects me from uncomfortable truths, and assures me that it's okay. I can still stand proudly on this pulpit, even if I don't know all of my bad sides.
Our first reading today comes from Dostoevsky's letters about his meeting with Charles Dickens. He told me that all the good and simple people in his novels, Little Nell, even the holy simpletons like Barnaby Rudge, are what he wanted to have been, and his villains were what he was, or rather, what he found in himself. His cruelty, his attacks of causeless enmity towards those who are helpless and look to him for comfort, his shrinking from those whom he ought to love, being used up in what he wrote. There were two people in him, he told me, one who feels as he ought to feel, and one who feels the opposite. From the one who feels the opposite, I make my evil characters. From the one who feels as a man ought to feel, I try to live my life.
Our second reading is from Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. I stood already committed to a profound duplicity of me. Many a man would have even blazoned such irregularities as I was guilty of, but from the high views that I had set before me, I regarded and hid them with an almost morbid sense of shame. It was thus rather the exacting nature of my aspirations than any particular degradation in my faults that made me what I was, and with even a deeper trench than in the majority of men, severed in me those provinces of good and ill which divide and compound man's dual nature. In this case, I was driven to reflect deeply and inveterately on that hard law of life, which lies at the root of religion and is one of the most plentiful springs of distress. Though so profound a double dealer, I was in no sense a hypocrite. Both sides of me were in dead earnest. I was in no more myself when I laid aside restraint and plunged in shame than when I labored in the eye of day at the furtherance of knowledge or the relief of suffer and sorrowing.